rest of the story. The death toll was rising. The result of an epidemic spreading swiftly throughout Europe, and there was no way to stop it, no warnings urgent enough, no medicines powerful enough to halt the awesome onslaught. And the innocent were dying first in Germany, then in Hungary and Italy, then Switzerland and France. Or were they so innocent after all? Physicians far and wide helplessly shook their heads, but many members of the clergy called it a curse, the ultimate penalty, they said, for a particular sin. In Germany, in the Protestant North, ministers openly accused the Catholic South of having fostered this international tragedy, the most tragic aspect of which was the direct relationship between the sickness and death and the specific willing behavior of the victims. Many doctors agreed, calling the waves of human suffering preventable. One widely circulated treatise called this new habit a main cause of the weakness of body and mind of our generation. And fewer listened, and more died. Preachers declared in desperation the sinning must stop. A man named Ernst Arndt traveled throughout Europe, observed the corruption and the contagion. He took notes. His recommendation was out-and-out prohibition of the behavior, which precipitated the medical problems. He would make that sin illegal. So town by town and province by province, the laws were passed. In some areas, they appeared as health ordinances. In others, as police edicts. In Magdeburg, in Breslau, in Frankfurt, beginning in Germany, then in Switzerland, the demoralizing and lewd habit was a punishable offense, but the prurient practice persisted. The Prussian court in Berlin took a stand, forbade the folly, and yet the masses continued to indulge themselves. Authors and poets assisted in the cause of prohibition. Even the unembarrassable Lord Byron confessed his shock at this behavior. And still the sin flourished, and in greater proportions than ever. It finally took an Englishman, a man named Thomas Wilson, to tell the world the rest of the story. That the lavishly condemned behavior blamed for so much ill was actually good for you. Good for you, that's what he said. Those who had died doing it were surely high-risk people to begin with, he said. Too frail to withstand any kind of emotional or cardiovascular stress. Those who had suffered moral degradation as a result of it were simply doing it wrong. So Thomas Wilson published a book describing in detail how to do it right. And when the act was correctly performed, he insisted, it promoted vigorous health and even emotional well-being. There were even diagrams in his book graphically depicting the proper procedure. Wilson's book quickly became a bestseller, and unburdened of their guilt, Europeans pursued the controversial pastime with unprecedented enthusiasm, and we, more than a century and a half later, we find it difficult to imagine that it was ever considered immoral or vulgar, or that anyone thus excited ever actually died dancing the waltz. Now you know the rest of the story.